Good day, friends. We're glad to have this opportunity of coming into your family circle with a program that is truly based upon what God's Word has to offer. We're thankful for the opportunity of sounding forth the marvelous truth of God's Word to you on this broadcast again today. We want to thank the brethren who make this possible. Truly, they have a desire to offer the truth of God's Word that will help you to come to understand the Bible better. As we broadcast these sermons on radio station after radio station, we're aware of the fact that it must be understood that this is not a substitution for church attendance. We understand that these messages also have been used in nursing homes, in hospitals, and home Bible studies. We simply want to say that it's offered as a spiritual assistant to help you and your entire family to come to know God's Word more completely. In the current series, we're dealing with Bible questions and answers. And on the broadcast today, we simply have the question, why elders? The terminology of elders that's found in the Bible is equivalent to the term bishop. If you're taking references, you might note Philippians 1 and 1, where Paul, in the salutation in that epistle to an outstanding congregation in Macedonia, addresses the letter to the saints in Christ Jesus which are at Philippi with the bishops and the deacons. We would understand this word bishops, as it appears here, is the same word for elders. What we mean, it refers to the same office. So we're going to use the expression that's found on the broadcast today in the 20th chapter of Acts, where Paul called the Ephesian elders from Ephesus to Troas that he might converse with them before he had to leave the area. So when we use the term elders on the broadcast today, we're talking about bishops. In the first place, we should describe that the Bible pictures elders or bishops as the overseers of a local congregation. Someone might say, well, why should the church have elders or bishops? Well, in the first place, I'll give you the answer that a good lady in Missouri gave me some years ago. She said we should have them because that's what the Lord says to do. And I believe that's putting it right down the line in an area that everybody can understand. But the question might come before our minds this morning, what function do these elders actually play, or these bishops play, in a local congregation? You see, when a congregation has its beginning, it doesn't have elders or deacons. Because of the number of people that are identified in that assembly, there must be those who will meet certain qualifications. Time will not permit us on the broadcast today to go to all those qualifications, but you'll find them in the writing of the Apostle Paul in 1 Timothy and also in Titus. You see, both Timothy and Titus were evangelists, and we would understand the duties of an evangelist, at least one duty of an evangelist, is to ordain elders or bishops in a local congregation. This was true when Paul and Barnabas, as apostles and truly they had evangelistic nature, went throughout the regions of Iconium and Lystra and Derbe and Antioch and Pisidia, as recorded in the 13th and 14th chapters of Acts. And after preaching and teaching the word, we're told in Acts 14:21, they confirmed the souls of the disciples and exhorted them to continue in the faith. And verse 23 tells us they ordained them elders in every city where they had preached the gospel. So the point is simply this, that the message that Paul gave to two evangelists regarding the qualification of elders was to be imparted to the church. Now, to make a long story short, if you read those qualifications, you'll find that just about every member of the congregation would certainly find themselves serving the Lord well to have those qualifications. But there is a qualification that an elder must be a married man. There must be children in his household, because the proving ground with his wife and with his children, the proving ground to be qualified to oversee the work in a local congregation, begins in the family circle. His children, truly, must be in subjection to him. This would indicate that in his service on the home front as well as in the congregation, that he must have executive ability to oversee. The word rule is used on one occasion. This conveys the idea that he is in charge as a shepherd, leading the flock. He must also have the ability, we might say, to teach which goes along with this very definitely. See, one could be a Christian who might not have the ability to teach. One could be a Christian who would never marry. But elders must be married. They must have the ability to teach. And Titus, it even says, to the extent that they could convict or convince the gainsayer. And then without a doubt, they must have a qualification, and it goes into many areas of life, of being a Christian. No one could truly qualify to be an elder without first being a Christian. Of course, this is true of deacons. This is also true of evangelists. And if we're going to serve the Lord, we certainly want to present our bodies as a living sacrifice that will be holy and acceptable unto Him. When men are developed and trained to the place where they can oversee the local congregation, then we find being selected by the congregation they are ordained by an evangelist, and thus in a plurality of individuals, we have scriptural elders and bishops. Now, one of the good points that I'd like to keep before your mind is in this 20th chapter of Acts. And if you're taking notes, why, certainly go to that very teaching that Paul gave to the elders at Miletus. I want to read this excerpt in your hearing on the broadcast this morning. And so if you're taking notes or following us, feel free to look at the 20th chapter of Acts, beginning with verse 17. It simply says, "And from Miletus he," that's the Apostle Paul, "sent to Ephesus and called the elders of the church." That's the same as the bishops. "And when they were come to him, he said unto them, Ye know from the first day that I came into Asia, after what manner I have been with you at all seasons, serving the Lord with all humility of mind, and with many fear, many tears, and temptations, which befell me by the lying in wait of the Jews, and how I kept back nothing that was profitable unto you, but have showed you, and have taught you publicly, and from house to house." This is referring to that training period of developing men who were to become scriptural elders or bishops in the congregation at Ephesus in Asia Minor. He then goes on to say, "testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ." Then he waxes eloquently here in telling us what's going to happen. "And now, behold, I go bound in the Spirit unto Jerusalem, not knowing the things that shall befall me there, save that the Holy Ghost witnesseth in every city, saying that bonds and afflictions abide me. But none of these things move me, neither count I my life dear unto myself, so that I might finish my course with joy, and the ministry which I have received of the Lord Jesus, to testify the gospel of the grace of God. And now, behold, I know that all of you, among whom I have gone preaching the kingdom of God, shall see my face no more. Wherefore I take you to record this day that I am pure from the blood of all men, for I have not shunned to declare unto you the whole counsel of God." And then here we have the 28th verse that would indicate to us why a congregation should have elders. "Take heed therefore unto yourselves and to all the flock," that's the congregation, "listen, over the which the Holy Ghost hath made you overseers, to feed the church of God," and that's the family name, "which he hath purchased with his own blood." Jesus died upon the cross. He purchased the church. Truly, he's in harmony with God. Paul said, "I know that after my departing shall grievous wolves enter in among you, not sparing the flock. And also of your own selves shall men arise, speaking perverse things, to draw away disciples after them. Therefore watch and remember, that by the space of 3 years I cease not to warn everyone night and day with tears." What we're saying on the broadcast today is that the God's plan that is so clearly taught in the Scripture requires that a local congregation must develop itself to the place where it can have scriptural elders or bishops as well as deacons. So the question that was asked, and we're trying to answer on the broadcast today, why elders? Well, it is God's plan. These men are the spiritual overseers of that local congregation. And one thing that is so interesting when you look at the Bible, we do not find a spiritual hierarchy like many times is found on the religious scene. Jesus Christ is the head of the church, which is his body. But as the teaching offers also, and we want to take time to go to that on the broadcast today, in 1 Peter chapter 5, it tells us something very definitely here about the work and the responsibility of these men who are elders. Let me go to this fifth chapter of 1 Peter and follow us with this reading once again from the Word of God. Peter begins here in verse 1 of chapter 5 of 1 Peter by saying, "The elders which are among you," in other words, they must be among the congregation. They only have authority over one congregation. "I exhort, who am also an elder and a witness of the sufferings of Christ and also the partaker of the glory that shall be revealed." Here's what they're to do. "Feed the flock of God which is among you." So as the elders are among the congregation, so the congregation is among the elders. "Taking the oversight thereof, not by constraint, but willingly, not for filthy lucre, but of ready mind, neither as being lords over God's heritage, because you see the sheep, the congregation, the Christians really belong to the Lord. They're not their self, they're not their own, they're bought with a price. So he said, neither being lords over God's heritage, but being in samples to the flock. And when the chief shepherd shall appear, ye shall receive a crown of glory that fadeth not away." The wonderful plan of God indicates that a congregation must indeed have a plurality of elders. And we trust that if you're interested in this subject, that you'll scrutinize it carefully and realize that God's plan could not be complete without men being over the local assembly. Again, keep in mind, the local congregation is the largest unit that we have working for the Lord. We want to leave this with you on the broadcast today, and I trust that it at least has shed some light upon why the congregation, a local congregation, must have scriptural elders or bishops. You see, they do not have authority over other congregations, but simply over the congregation of which they have been ordained. As we leave you, we trust this broadcast has been a benefit to you. Our thoughts are upon those who are sick and those who mourn, and truly upon the needs of the soul. Be in the house of the Lord this week. Listen for the time of service of the congregation that brings you this broadcast. Tell a friend about the broadcast and be with us next time as we deal once again with Bible questions and answers.